Podcast! Yeah. Right, here's a podcast again. We're doing one again already. That's good. Yeah, we need a theme for the podcast.
Yeah, we do. That's all I've got.
What have you got? You had one in your head. What was that?
Podcast! I've got a podcast!
It is complex.
You can't just use our guest songs.
We're here with Paul Stapleton.
Yeah, look.
Hello.
Yeah,
here I am.
You're supposed to like give him a little introduction of all the things he's done, and then say, "Ladies and gentlemen," or you know, like on the.
Yeah, telly. But you are going to do that.
Yeah, but you've already given away who it is.
Though, okay.
Okay. So he's the front man of the popular beat combo Pog. Pog, not Cog. Who are Cog?
I have no idea.
Or a band called Cog, that's what they should do.
All right. Well, I will now on the back of this. I think I have to.
Yeah, no, but he's not in that band yet. That's in the future. At the moment, he's in Pog. And he's front man of Anal Beard as well. One of the two front men, I suppose.
Half the front men.
Half the front
men. Half man.
You are half the Anal Beard.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, because it's not actually rude, is it, Anal Beard?
No, it's not. People think it is. We played in Greece last week. It was our first gig abroad, and something got lost in translation. We put on the poster was anal beer, which I kind of I like because on
a gibberish service.
Well, sometimes when we play here, we have to change the name. You know, we played Patchfest once, so we had to change it for that. Yeah. But normally they change the first half and not change the last word and then make it sound even worse than it did in the first place.
Right.
Anal beer.
So what does it actually mean? It's not rude.
Well, it was in... I think it was always supposed to be a bit rude, but really what it meant was a bearded record collector, an anally retentive bearded record collector. That's kind of what it referred to.
If I had the guy from Anal Cunt here, do you think he would say...
He'd probably say, yeah, it's not supposed to be rude. What it is, it's somebody who's very anally... anally obsessed with their cunting pouch, because of course that's what it originally was, wasn't it?
Right. Yeah,
a little purple velvet pouch that a scytheman would keep a stone in.
I think they would do that. And then I should just interview them on the basis that you pretend to be the bloke from Anal Cunt. So wind chimes, what have you got against wind chimes? Are they gay? In what sense are they gay?
Have they got something against wind chimes?
They've got a song called Wind Chimes Are Gay.
Have they really?
It goes, "We're trying to gay." It's good.
Oh.
Yeah, and they've got one called "Your Favourite Band is Supertramp" that goes, "Jing, jing, 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 jing." Yeah, gay!
All I've heard that I can remember is their cover of "Staying Alive"
right.
from Greece, which is...
Is that much the same?
Yeah, pretty much the same.
But Anal Beard have many different styles of song.
Oh, we're very nuanced, yeah. Somebody once said we play everything from punk to lounge, and I'm not really sure if those things are if you know they're two different.
No, I think that's sort of Mrs. Dave. That's got kind of lounge.
Well, I suppose there are lounge elements, but if you ask somebody writing for punk fanzines to describe something that's not punk, you're gonna, you know, there's gonna be some very strange sort of genres that they kind of like create in their heads.
Yeah, punk lounge. I love punk lounge.
I just think of Richard Cheese. Don't like that.
No.
It's alright for one song or so.
Yeah. Punk lounge. It's a terrible genre,
It's stupid, I hate it.
Listen to Exotica.
Punk lounge is gay.
I only listen to Exotica now.
Do you?
Sissy Bounce and Exotica, they're the only two genres I like.
Exotica's very popular, I hear, at the moment.
Is it now?
Yes.
I had to look into it and get all the things, but
I don't know what it is.
It is. Okay, so it's Martin Denny and Les Baxter pretty much on their own as a genre, and it is the sort of Hawaiian luau sound from the 50s and 60s.
Oh, okay.
But it has nothing in common with what it actually sounds like in Hawaii, because they just sort of went, what should Polynesian sound like? it's not what does Hawaii sound like, let's adapt that for American audience. It's, well, if the world was as it should be, what would that music be?
Kind of retroactive musical colonisation.
With this sort of, they do like animal sound in the background, it's brilliant. Our next album is just Exotica.
Wasn't that animal sound like an accident?
Yeah, that's Martin Denny had his regular gig at the hotel where he was, you know, Martin Denny at the hotel. And there was like a parrot, an irritating parrot that he couldn't shut up. So they were just trying to ignore it. And a guy came up to him afterwards and was like, "Hey, man, I really dug that tune with the bird." Hang on a minute, this is genius. And thus the genre was born.
And they make them on stage. They go,
they make those noises themselves.
The bass player's just stood there doing a monkey sound.
I wonder if in his head he thinks that it should come to this. you know, staying on stage.
I imagine he's heading things.
Emulating an accident.
Yeah, yeah, but I think, I imagine he's, isn't that what we're all doing, really?
Well, I suppose so, yes.
You're forgetting, you're the lead singer in Anal,
Anal Bit. One of the lead singers. One of the lead singers.
Emulating an accident, which is a... Because I've seen you in Pog, you're actually quite able.
No, I just have a more efficient backup. No, I'm just annoyed that somebody else is emulating an accident and doing it with far more,
yeah,
you know, finesse.
He's probably dead. I don't,
yeah.
I don't worry about it.
So this is why I end up being 35 minutes instead of, you know, 10.
That's fine.
What else does Paul Stapleton make?
Well, I'd want to get onto that later.
Okay.
We've got to do our bit first.
All right.
He makes all kinds of things. That can be the thing. Stick around.
Yeah, yeah, come back. Don't go.
Find out
please,
what else
please don't go.
Paul Stapleton makes. Don't go.
Please.
You don't need to beg them. They won't.
Oh, good. They want to get their 150s worth.
Exactly. Those one or two guys. Yeah, the 150s. So we'll explain that again. As we probably tried to explain last time we were doing this. This is our podcast. It's our Jukebox podcast where on the internet you can go to the site, which is at indelicates.com/jukebox, I think.
Yeah, it is.
And there you can pay £1.50 to queue up songs on the Indelicates Jukebox, which you can be any song from our back catalogue, not including the ones that only Peter Murrells and Stuart have heard of.
Yes.
Because we're not playing those, Peter, whatever you say.
Stuart hasn't paid for one.
Yeah,
but we have now got to do Peter Pan at some point.
Yeah, which is ridiculous.
We will do that.
Who asked that?
Jonathan Burnham's. The same person who asked last time.
I hate you, Jonathan Burnham's. You are a cruel, evil mistress. The problem with that song, you see, is because, like, not only did I not write the music, I've never played the music, and he wants me to play it.
So are you going to do it?
Well, not today. I'm going to do it because he wasn't first. But in a few weeks, I have to do that, and I'm not going to.
You might forget.
Because Edwin, better at the guitar than me. I didn't play that guitar.
Where's Edwin now?
He's
America.
In New York.
Can't bring him back just for that.
Ooh.
I'd have to charge, well...
More than 150.
100 times as much,
yeah,
if I was going to do that. But we'll manage. We'll manage.
Yeah.
For you, Jonathan.
Yeah.
You.
So...
Dick. I shouldn't alienate, like, a whole 13th of the audience. It's a mistake, isn't it? I'm sorry, Jonathan, I love you, and you're brilliant for suggesting that. But today we're not doing that. Today we're going to do the first two that came in.
Yeah.
Which are?
We are going to do Better to Know for Kai.
Yeah.
Who I think is in Germany.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure. And we're going to do The Last Significant Statement to be
made. So basically we've got to sort of go back in time and play songs that I don't really agree with anymore. But there's a lot of sort of sceptic stuff. And since I did these... Scepticism has become insufferable. Like, at the time, 8 years ago, scepticism, oh, that was a good idea. It's like, oh, you know, God Delusion was a new book. And
Playing anything where your scepticism has been proved to be false, though. I mean, you know.
There is like, an out and out lie in one of the songs we're doing.
Yeah.
But that's the one we'll do second. I'll explain that out and out lie later. I didn't realise it was a lie at the time. But yeah, Better to Know. Do I still agree with that as an argument? It's a bit mid 20s.
What, like, sort of manifesto age sort of thing? No, it's past the manifesto age.
It's just past the manifesto age into the, I'm past the manifesto age. I want to start taking myself a bit more seriously as a songwriter age. And, you know, it's fine. It's good. Mid-20s, like 25, proud of that. Not sure I'm proud of it anymore.
It's like reading old diaries, isn't it?
A little bit.
But, of course, you're not asked to play those or read from them for £1.50.
And then put them on the internet segment for everyone to dissect.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a terrible, terrible idea, isn't it? Why are we doing a podcast?
Well, because we're all here.
Yeah.
You are, Julia.
Yeah, sorry.
That's all right.
No, I just thought of a good idea for a segment. For a segment, if you didn't hear that. I thought maybe I could read you some of my poems I wrote when I was a teenager.
That is good. I think there's a Radio 4 programme.
They're really, really terrible.
Right, we'll get to that.
Oh, God, I don't know.
Please, can I have a look?
Know. Yeah, no, they're really, really awful. It's like...
Is that an accordion book?
Yeah, no, I know, because it's in a special book and everything.
Wow.
I was, to be fair, 14.
Oh, hang on. Oh, fuck.
Do you want that segment to be now, or should we try and play a song first?
I think we should probably play a song.
And then if
we hear some little giggles here and there from Paul in the middle of the song, that will add to it. A bit like the animal sounds.
Yeah. don't get this podcast expecting the music to be, like, good.
Yeah.
That's really important because we do have albums for sale where we've recorded these properly. This is what they would sound like if they were bad. That's right. Don't practice yet. Yeah. There we are. That's the first chord, isn't it? So yeah, I suppose we could, after this, we can dissect the lyrics and see if we believe in them at all. Come on now, take seriously. This would meant a lot to me when I was 25.
Excuse me.
Yeah. Seriously though, request more recent songs. I know your favourites are the less good ones, but request more recent songs, that's my rule. It's not a rule, but you know, I did say we'd play anything. I'll play the song. To the way that everyone else does it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's got a special way.
Cool.
I need to retune that guitar before we play something properly. No, that was properly.
That was fine. I just stopped playing because I was like, you know what, that's going to put...
Your clapping was good, though. I wasn't sure if I should join in, but I thought if I start, it's going to be just as you stop, because that's where it's supposed to stop in the actual song.
It's quite a good room for clapping,
actually. It is, isn't it? It's a decent
bit of... What do you think of that song now, all these years on? Still good, or just a bit embarrassing? Because there's a bit like a little anti-war bit. Pro war now, love war. I'm in my 30s.
I'm in my 30s now. I love war.
Yeah, you know, being against war—that's a young man's game. You don't care about your stuff. Now, got to protect ourselves.
Well, absolutely.
They might come and take my house.
Yeah.
What are they thinking? So I don't agree with that anymore.
I think the pursuit of liberty is still a noble cause.
Not so much. I've seen what happens.
Nothing.
Not
you know, you get too much liberty, you end up with Tumblr. That's what happens.
Yes, it's true.
No, that was fine. I think the use of fascist was a bit strong. I don't think I would say fascist in this song now. I think if I was writing a song now, I'd... Cool.
Yeah, I knocked it out though.
Nice one.
Probably.
I wouldn't put fascist in a song. I would say, oh, I'm not going to go fascist. I'll disguise that with a metaphor. I'd do that now.
Well, yeah, we were talking about that at the...
Fair.
Yeah, the overuse of the word fascist.
Yeah.
Usually just to denounce somebody who doesn't agree with you word for word.
Well, those people are fascists.
But that's what I think.
Yeah, someone should do something about those.
Yeah, exactly,
people,
yes. Yeah.
Someone should round those people up, that's what I'm thinking.
Can't say anything these days, can you?
You can't say anything these days.
Feminazis.
Oh, everywhere. And, you know. Oh, Lily told me something funny, but I've just realised she's going to come on the podcast so she can say it herself.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to steal her jokes days in advance.
Something completely inappropriate, but I'm not going to do it now.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll get into trouble.
Fair enough. Don't get into trouble on the internet.
What? I can't. I'll tell you later.
Okay. What? Well, after we stop recording.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right then. Yeah. That'll be our little secret then, won't it?
Yeah. It will. Yeah. And
actually,
we'll
no. I could like.
Yes. Yeah, so I dare say you will.
I could pause the recording, and then you could tell us what it was, and then I'll start it again while we're laughing.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Okay. Well, just
No. Okay. So I'm just going to pause it now.
Yeah. Oh, delicious.
Man. Oh, you can't ever say that on the internet.
It was quite
oh my god.
Anecdote, wasn't it?
You would be killed.
Jesus.
Oh. I nearly had coffee come out of my nose.
Not just because of laughing, just but we can't
just
say
as a preference.
Can't say why.
No. So for another time, another time, another age.
Yeah, we'll be back. Well, I didn't record it, so it's lost. It's lost to the eons.
Yeah.
Paul, do you want to play a song?
Yeah, all right.
It's your classical guitar.
My nylon guitar.
You tell me about your nickname on tour.
My nickname on tour was nylon because everyone else has steel strings, and so every morning they'd say things like, "Oh, right, nylon, how'd you sleep, nylon?" On a bed made of nylon, was it? Ah, you cunt. And then they'd all run off to the breakfast mess and leave me on my own weeping in my bed.
I think it was the year of my 30th birthday. I was 30. And we were on tour in Germany, and I remember going to bed on a bunk bed, like a steel-framed bunk bed, next to... what's the singular of graffiti? Is it graffito? Next to a large graffito. It probably isn't that. Right, just massively, like the size of the wall, with an arrow pointing at the bed saying, "Dean caught crabs here." And I remember just thinking, I'm 30 years old. Good night. Yeah.
Did you catch crabs? Did you catch anything?
Well, I didn't catch anything. I just went to sleep,
woke up and then
carried on with the misery of driving around West German industrial towns in the freezing cold to play a sort of 20 people at night. Yeah, but you know, Dean has got the grabs, and good luck to him.
Avoid Dean.
If you're going to have sex with Dean, don't. That's actually everyone I know called Dean. That is good advice.
Yeah.
Unless you're into some kinky shit.
Well, the graffiti probably lasted longer than his crabs did.
Yeah.
What about if on your Match.com profile you like crabs, the animals?
Yeah, I don't think he was actually fishing for crabs.
Crustaceans or something, yeah.
Part of the animal kingdom.
Because you see, if you were to call them animals, you'd probably get flamed online.
Really?
Yeah.
Do I have to pause it again?
It's quite fascistic. No.
It's
quite
fascistic. They're not plants, are they? They're part of the animal kingdom.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think... I mean, don't have a go at me. I'm just saying that I think they're not animals.
Does that mean it's all right to eat them if you're
vegetarian? Yeah, basically. If you're vegetarian from Brighton, that's fine.
They self-identify as animals. I mean,
well, then they're wrong. Well, they're wrong, and they're probably a little bit fascist.
I think
they want to have a good hard long with themselves.
Someone tell you to check your privilege on the internet.
I think I'll do it. Yeah. Check your privilege, Paul. Go on, do it. Check it now. Look, I'll give you 20 seconds to have a quick check.
Well, my current privilege is I'm sat in Lewis on a drizzly Friday afternoon at the age of 37.
Yeah, pretty lucky.
I think so, yeah.
It could be a lot worse.
I pretty much think I've made it.
My friend Keith, who's going to be on the podcast probably next, he checked his privilege, turned out it was awesome. That's just his joke that I've stolen off Twitter. But he now can't say that on the podcast. I'll get him to say it again. And everyone will be like, oh, old news. That
yeah, you're copying your jokes off Simon.
I'm sure we'll have plenty of new jokes.
He will. Right, let's have a song. Why don't you introduce some things?
Which song are you going to play?
Well, as soon as I tuned up properly this time, I'm going to play Kings and Queens. I think it's the A that's the culprit.
Radio. I can join in at the very end, but
no,
I don't have to.
That would be lovely.
Yeah, like Jules Holland, you're gonna come in with some wanky jazz to ruin everyone's music.
Yeah, well, that's why I was saying I don't have to do that at all, because, you know, I might fuck it up, and then that might be.
And your name is Julia.
Julia Holland.
Yeah.
That's really nice. Yes. Yeah, that'd be really good. And if either of you want to sing as well, of course.
Yeah.
You can
I'll just sit here.
Okay.
If I don't, just carry on.
Okay. I might suddenly decide
this is too nice. I'm just going to sing along and not play.
Okay, but that was very nice, though.
Yeah.
If I could freeze this moment, I would. If I could capture the point when a second splits in two, I would. It's such a perfect circle of perfect strangers, sharing nothing but their age, but they all seem to gel. They all fit so well. Days are chained like daisies, they're just as fragile when the wind of change starts blowing and the connections fade away. Before you know, another week rolls by, someone took a fall, now they're in a home, and someone passed away. Someone swears they're late for the job, while someone else swears they've heard this one before. No grace or gods fly here. Minds are chained like blossom, they're just as fragile when the tree of reason starts falling and the connections fade away. To raise a toast to the tiny reigns of the kings and queens of the day. Kings and queens of the day. Freeze this moment, I would. If I could capture the point when a library shuts its doors and nothing takes its place. And now this perfect circle of perfect friends, promising to keep in touch, but when you live round the corner, you might as well be on the moon. Are chained like raindrops, they're just as fragile when the drought kicks in, and all those connections are quietly swept away. So raise a toast to the tiny rains of the kings and queens of the day. Kings and queens of the day. That was nice.
No,
that's okay. I made four mistakes in that. Is that okay? Is this kind of warts and all?
This is the kind of podcast where four is too few.
I love it.
Thank you.
It's beautiful.
Oh, thank you very much.
I don't. Probably Simon doesn't even get quite how perfect it is when it, like, in the way that it describes.
I'll take
that
as a challenge.
No, like having obviously me and Paul both worked in care at some point.
Sometimes at the same time in the same place.
Yeah.
It's about the sort of very rapid turnover of dynamics in day centres, because you get these really nice sort of periods where everyone seems to get on and people, you know, they gel, and it's a nice kind of, and then one of them dies or moves and then a few more move in, and it's all this sort of, it's got a very rapid turnover to it.
Yeah.
And then of course you've got other things, places closing and all the stuff that sort of forces change through. Yeah. So that's kind of what it's about. But it's hard to relay that, say a gig or something, without it sounding like a really boring idea for a song.
We'll do it after.
So all that was about, right?
That one was brilliant. Oh, that's cool. You can't retrospectively dislike it.
No, that's true.
You can't sort of go back into, oh, well, if now I know it's about that, I don't enjoy it.
Well, if I say, hands up if you like that song, and then people put their hands up, and I say, well, actually, what it was about is
racism.
Yeah.
It's pro-racism. Ah, there we are. No, don't do that.
It's pro-racism and anti-nice people. Yeah, suckers.
I like the line about might as well be on the moon as well.
Oh, wow.
Because that happens all the time. What happens is you'll have elderly people who kind of maybe aren't that vulnerable, and they come in and they meet each other and they talk and stuff, but they're both kind of getting a bit decrepit and a little bit, like, dementia-y, and their memory's going and stuff, and then they desperately want to exchange numbers, and actually they only live around the corner from each other. But like it is so far away and so.
Well, I think the distance kind of becomes proportional, doesn't it? I mean, I suppose if you can't get around, or you shuffle around very slowly, then actually it is quite a long way away.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's funny, we've had that with people who used to come in who got on really, really well, and they lived on the same street. You think, well, why not, you know, go around for supper, or but then and I think people forget how to socialise, don't they, as well, over time.
Yeah, and it's hard to remember how to communicate.
Yeah,
being on your own in a house for however long.
Yeah, you know. Absolutely. But I mean, you get the same thing in homes as well, don't you? People who will, I don't know, say that they feel lonely, but there's another sort of 20 or 30 people living in the same building
and they
as
won't
them.
Go and have
tea. No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. Still be us one day. Although I think we'll probably be uploaded to something by then.
Yeah, I hope so.
Oh, I do.
Virtual nursing homes.
I think once my body's done, I'd like to.
That'd be exceptionally cruel if they develop the technology to upload a consciousness.
But all they do.
And then they just put you in a virtual nursing home. You can have the entire. You can have anything you can imagine.
But what you're getting is some backstreet private run shithole that stinks of cabbage.
Old people's over. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, it's brilliant to write a song about old people. Everyone writes songs about young people, and they're boring.
Well, of course they are.
Young people got very little piece of interest about them.
Precisely.
Yeah.
It's a very difficult subject, I think,
because
they want everyone to stay in their home. That's the plan. That's the big conservative plan. Basically, they want people to stay in their home for independence. But actually, it's kind of massively cost effective.
Yeah, exactly. But I suppose a lot of people do want to stay in their homes, don't they? As long as they can. But
it's
of
just
course,
that they die in their homes.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly. Normally, before they would do otherwise.
Instead of dying in the hospital.
Yeah.
The hospital stats go down, and the home deaths go up, and you know.
And of course, there comes a point beyond which it's not safe for them to stay at home anyway. But we're ranting about work, aren't we?
We're aiming for a sort of light-hearted commuter length.
It's not happening.
Yeah,
that ain't happening.
Agent, you're next. That's the title of this podcast.
You're next.
This is your future. You're not going to like it.
Yeah. Looking in the mirror, mate.
what question would you ask Paul Stapleton if you were? Oh, all right, okay, Paul.
Young.
Will you buy my fanzine?
No. But I will read your e-zine.
That's it, because these days, will you listen to my podcast?
Well, exactly. I mean,
no.
Tapes.
Morrissey updates. This is just in case you don't know. And to be honest, be ashamed if you don't. There's an Anal Beard song that goes. It's called Fanzine Nerd.
Fanzine
goes,
Nerd.
Will you buy my fanzine?
No.
Etc.
Will you buy my tape?
If you're ever at an Anal Beard gig, that's when you shout no.
Exactly.
And if everyone else, because if you don't, everyone else will shout no, and then they'll know that you're
a noob,
yeah.
A beard noob.
You.
Exactly. Yeah. But I mean, that song and most of Anal Beard stuff now is based on lots of outmoded reference points.
Right.
fanzines and cassettes. And friendship, in a way, as well.
Because in Morrissey, in is it Big Mouth Strikes Again? Which one is it? Joan of Arc and Mettman and her eye and her pyramid started to
melt. Oh, yeah, Walton starts to melt, yeah.
What song is that?
Big Mouth Strikes Again.
And he says, but now he says iPod.
I didn't know that.
He's updated it. So you, Morrissey says you can update things.
Mm.
I'm not sure, because that is a bit George Lucas-y.
I mean, I suppose it's okay so long as it scans. I mean, say if like we have like an aural chip implanted into our brains directly at some point in the future with a playlist. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, it's got to scan, because otherwise you sound like a bit of a tit, I think.
Because the thing is, in my opinion, like when, because it doesn't really scan when Morrissey does it, he goes, iPod, he sort of goes, and even though he could go iPod, he sort of says it as if he's a bit self-conscious.
Yeah.
But, you know, in a way, you don't want half the audience to go, what's a Walkman?
Yeah.
Not heard that.
Oh, granddad, fuck off.
Yeah, with your Walkman.
Yeah.
I don't know, because iPods, they're made of very, very good quality materials. They might not melt at the same temperature.
Well, that's the thing. Maybe he's just resentful that progress and technology has left him and his witterings behind.
I imagine he's very resentful. Mm. To be honest, I think he was quite resentful.
Already. At the time. Well, so
that's why we love him. but the thing, because Billy Bragg does it, right? He does with Waiting for the Great Leap Forward. And he's got a whole new version of that now, which is awful. Makes me genuinely cross.
I mean, I think songs like that are always going to be contemporary to when they're written, aren't they? They're fine as historical artifacts, I think.
That's right. I think the original lyrics have a perfect balance between being all political and yet, you know, being vague enough. Kind of universalness. But now he changes the lyrics. It's like, oh, in the Tony Blair's ass, he's having a terrible idea. He's going to start a war and provoke a lot of fear. And it's like, shut up, Billy. You've spoiled the song. Right?
Yeah.
Is that
how it goes?
Not quite, but, you know, basically.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know the actual words. But he changes them all the time. Like, and each time it's sort of whatever is currently politically bothersome to him. And quite a lot
Why
of
not
time,
just write some new songs about that subject?
To be honest, once you've covered that, because everyone's got the song which uses those chords, and once you've done it,
yeah, I suppose
you can't really keep doing it, and all the other chords aren't as good. Those chords are classic. You can't, and so now you're sort of you couldn't write a song of universal popular sentiment using like a B minor and an F sharp.
No, I suppose it is a great song, though, isn't it?
It's a beautiful song.
Yeah,
you should stop spoiling it.
Exactly.
He's not listening to this, but if he is, stop
spoiling
it.
Sort it out.
Waiting for the Great Leap Forward.
Oh yeah, I wish that he's not aging very well, Billy Bragg. Like it's like you know, like there's a thing.
Yeah, we've done his songs. Now onto his face.
I don't mean that. I just mean like you know his demeanor. Like he's just wrong about everything because he's really stuck in the old-fashioned way of thinking. And actually, he should get out of the new one.
He's kind of like the musical equivalent of going to something like the People's Assembly and listening to all these old die-in-the-wool kind of union dinosaurs ranting on like Thatcher was still in power.
Yeah. That's kind of the problem, and like that's not how it is anymore. But there's loads of good you could probably do if you would just update your politics.
Yeah.
Anyway, the reason I was giggling in the background there is that I just found the poems I wrote in school detention.
Oh, it's the segment. It's our segment. Yes. We're gonna go. We do need a.
Yeah, we need a little Julius poem.
Julius poems.
It's Julius poems from when she was 14. We need a better jingle than that. But
I think it should
better.
Be sad. It should be sad.
Oh, really? Maybe I should just...
That's not sad, is it?
Now it is.
That's too sad.
Julius poems from when she was 14.
So who wants to hear a poem when I was 14?
No one.
Me!
Oh. Okay, well,
I won't do it.
No, do it. Okay.
No, I think you should do it.
I'd love terrible.
I'd just like to... I don't think I can read all of it without falling to pieces laughing. But
that's
anyway,
fine.
This one was written in school detention with an S in 1995.
D-E-T-E-N-S-I-O-N.
Detention.
That's probably why she got detention.
Yes.
Atrocious spelling.
Yeah. Yes.
What a strange voice I've heard. It's absurd. But not by my choice. What an odd face, all drained and pained. Frustrated, small.
I
that's
like
enough,
it.
Really,
no,
it?
No, carry on.
I imagine
it ends.
It's cool for help.
It's cool.
Maybe strength to pull up and defeat. Revenge is sweet. I'm reminded, surrounded, remembering your face, your tiny drained face, again, and your race against time. I'll remember this rhyme. It's like rap, basically.
It's good. Tiny drained face. That's good.
Like I killed a baby.
I've heard much worse from fully functioning adults.
Yes.
He's 14, not bad. Yeah, they've
we did this years ago. We did this
terrible
thing with, like, we did Poet Idol. Do you remember Poet Idol?
I do.
And we thought it was when Pop Idol was a thing, and we thought we'll get, like, some poets, and I think Dean was there, so we got MC Brainiac. Do you remember Brainiac?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Brainiac,
so Brainiac was on the panel. It was like me, Brainiac, Ros Barber, and I can't remember, someone else. Maybe it was Catherine Smith, someone like that. But, you know, it was like some vaguely proper poets on the panel. And the idea was it'd be really funny because people would get up and they'd do a poem and then we'd slag them off and be like, hey, banter. It'd be brilliant.
But we just made everyone cry.
It was the most emotionally intense, depressing evening of my life.
Like, shit.
Because people, like, they would come on and they would, like, expose some deep part of themselves, but badly. So they would open their souls and but they do it using rubbish rhymes. So we were just like, you know, because I was sort of like, you know, I came out like the first half, I was sort of going, oh yeah, if you considered a career in greetings cards and all that stuff, but like feeling bad about it, kind of, but then eventually just, but Ros was just horrible to them, just, no, you really should stop. And like, just and these people were just sort of leaving devastated.
Were there any actual tears?
I don't think there were actual tears, but there was definite, like, it was just wrong and intense.
Yeah.
And the light-hearted fun evening it was supposed to be did not materialise.
I can see it. Something like that would just be very confusing for everyone, wouldn't it?
Well, the thing is, the poetry slam that me and Simon met at years ago, like, they were horrible to you, but that was the whole point. Like, that you couldn't really do that anymore because everyone expects everyone else to be nice to you.
I think it's just the people who came to Poet Idol. It was kind of like, because there was always like these warring poetry factions. There was like the Brighton Poetry Society people, and like the kind of, and they were the more sort of, you know, polite applause and, you know, emotional scars being aired with poor rhythmic structure.
Look at AA.
And a lot of them came to that, and that was weird. So you couldn't. Yeah, it was an odd thing. But a lot of their poems were worse than your 14-year-old poems.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard much worse more recently.
Really?
Yeah.
Poetry's rubbish.
I swear to God, it used to be good.
I
every time I see it now, I go, oh, I hate this. But I swear I used to enjoy it, and I can't.
The thing is with poetry, I mean, there's a lot of crap music, but at least there's the barrier of having to at least be able to play an instrument to a degree, which stops a lot of, you know, a lot of people doing it, you know, maybe. But with poetry, all you need to do is stand up and speak, and as soon as you've got the words written down, which anyone can do, really. So I think that's why there's so much bad poetry.
Yeah. Another segment I thought might be fun.
What segment?
This is the one where we air the segments we never ever do again.
Yeah.
Was text messages from my family.
That is a good segment.
Yeah, I thought it would be.
Have you got one?
Yeah, I've got a good one today.
Okay, to read this.
It's really short. It says, "Don't kill yourself, love."
Who's that from?
My mum. Everybody.
What was the email? What was the text that led up to that?
Do you know why it's better without it?
I suppose it is actually, but
actually,
I'm curious.
Nothing really. I think she just sort of means, you know, don't work too hard and stuff.
Yeah, oh, okay.
But she's not fantastically good at using her touchscreen phone because she didn't get an expensive one. She got one of the cheaper ones and the touchscreen's not as good.
Right.
So she struggles a bit. So she doesn't, instead of using spaces, she uses full stops. And so it's all kind of like, yeah, don't kill yourself, love.
But telegram
stuff. She might have meant to say love, mum.
Yeah.
She just put love.
Oh, okay.
It's good advice.
There are hundreds
good advice for us all.
Me and Simon have spent many an afternoon giggling about technology.
Well, I think that can be a proper segment.
Yeah.
Because I think the 14-year-old poetry is good, but I think, you know, eventually we're going to get to the point where I have to read out mine and I don't want it. So with that segment, that's a keeper.
Text messages.
From Julia's mum. Do that sound again.
That's how I went.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, we've gone off. We've gone off.
We've gone right off.
We've been talking a while. That's fine. No, I reckon, like, you know, anything around the hour mark is okay.
Okay.
It's okay.
We're not up to an hour yet, are we?
Oh, no, we're near, I don't think. I'll just check.
So, what, do you edit it down or something?
Nope.
Right, okay, cool.
40 minutes, we've done.
Okay,
have
so
we really?
We should do the other songs.
Yeah.
Well, we should
do another song?
Well, no, you I think you should do one first. Your turn.
Okay, I can't remember how to play this one. All right. So we'll do... So last significant statement, who's that for?
This is for Holger in Stuttgart, who did a super special edition for a year ago, I think.
And he gave us and specially said, do this as well as then.
He said, do it better.
Well, it's
actually, no, he said,
cock
it
up
well.
Last time.
Do it as well, I shouldn't try so hard. Do it add some reverb on.
Because this one does contain just a naked untruth. Which I believed to be true at the time, and it is not true.
Oh, right, okay.
There's a bit at the beginning of this
one. Tricky once you recorded it, though, isn't it?
Well, this is, I didn't find out till years later, but because it says, once in the corridor in Memphis was a singer took a breath and wrote The Birth of the Teenager, now he can't write his death, right? In which I'm referring to the famous story of Elvis inventing rock and roll by going out into the corridor of the studio and going, ever since my baby left me, and you get this kind of, like... grain delay echo thing that, you know, it's supposed to be the moment where like singing became like singing.
Yeah.
But it's not, it wasn't in Memphis.
Oh,
and I thought it was in some studio, and then we went to some studio and we asked the bloke, and he was like, yeah, I was in Nashville. So, because this used to be, we used to play this at every show, and we used to play it first. So I used to begin every show by just lying to kids. Like, which I feel bad about. But I'm going to continue.
So the last significant statement is a lie.
Well, that bit, I suppose...
Part of it, at least.
Well, I think that bit was sort of... Given that that was the first song on the album, that was supposed to be like... I did... I mean, this is because, again, to be honest, I wouldn't write the lyrics this way now. But I think the fact that we had the last significant statement was the first song on the album, I thought that was quite funny.
Yeah.
Like, don't bother listening to the rest. Yeah. Nothing of value will be created.
The rest of the album is one long hidden track.
Yeah, I think that was all right.
Lords and ladies, religion and the soul. and roll. Farewell to gods and to lords and ladies, religion and the soul. This is the last significant statement to be made in rock and roll. Everything that follows is a footnote. We can cling to when we are old.
It wasn't. It was not the last. The point was that kind of in the mid-2000s, I thought, well, really, everything... If you get more extreme than, like, the Sex Pistols, then you have to kill yourself. So, like, any more than that is damaging to society and yourself, and you have to die.
Except
so, really, what was there to do in... Yeah, but what in rock and roll? That's not that. In rock and roll, what was there to do beyond the Sex Pistols? Really nothing. Should stop, but we didn't. Because we're idiots, and that was about that.
Mm-hmm.
But just going through it now, Rebellion shores up the market. I sort of say that with a sneer. I'm in favour of that now. I like the market.
if Rebellion's a saleable commodity, bring it on. I like the fact that it's the very first line of the album is a lie.
Yeah.
Or an error, rather. It's not a lie, is it? It's just factually inaccurate.
Now, if I were to see it correctly, it would be a lie.
Yeah, but you, at the time, you thought it was...
We had to make the album in order to get the money to go to some studio to see
So, it's like a sort of temporal paradox.
No, we went there just by getting married and getting people to give us money. But no, it was our wedding present. It was our honeymoon. We went to some studio.
It's brilliant,
it's
by the way.
Is it? Yeah, I bet it is.
It's just basically a room with some stairs. But the tour is so... They're so good at it that people really care about it and they love it and kind of like... They get to record there and stuff with their like rockabilly bands.
Yeah, everyone who works there, they've all got bands and they get free studio time like in the middle of the night, and that's why they work at Sun Studios, so they can record.
It's amazing. I mean, just to say you recorded at Sun Studios.
Well, Memphis awesome. Itself, it's
not that much. I mean, it's not that good of studio, so it's like it's actually sort of affordable, like to do bang out. I mean, getting there obviously if you're in Britain, but if you live in Memphis, like it's a cost effective option for laying down tracks.
If you live in
tracks,
Memphis, you're probably thinking about leaving. It's really
sad. It's a bit
sad.
Broken, Memphis.
It's really sad. Yeah. Like it's like everything about it feels broken. It's such a special place.
My favourite thing about Memphis is that just in the centre of Memphis there is a large hotel, right, where every day there's a tradition where it's called the Peabody, and every day there's traditions. There is a colony of ducks that live on the roof, and every day a man wearing top hat and a cane gets in the lift, goes up to the roof, and ushers these ducks into the elevator, comes back down to the lobby, ushers the ducks out, where they march past a crowd of people and get in the pond that's in the lobby of this hotel. And you walk around Memphis during the day and you kind of go, wow, there's like, there are no white people in there. Where are all the white people? Like, you know, because this is supposed to be like, I think it's, you know, it's a majority black town, but like, surely you'd see a few. Where are all the white people? They're all in this hotel watching ducks march into a pond. They're all hiding in this hotel, scared, watching ducks. It's an apt metaphor as well.
Yeah, it's weird because like if you go to New Orleans, it's like the complete opposite of a place that is similar.
Yeah,
like it's kind of there's crime and stuff, but it's not.
You can totally die in New Orleans, but
it doesn't have the same kind of level of darkness.
Desperate.
Yeah, and desperation. It feels very desperate, and like the place we were staying, it was just a brothel. I mean, it really just was a brothel, wasn't
but
it?
But still,
like,
go. It's good.
Yeah, definitely.
They need
go.
The money. Go.
They do need the money. You should definitely go to
the studio. And we didn't get killed, and there was very little chance we were going to.
Can we have another song from you?
Oh, alright then, yes, why not?
What's this one called?
This will be Class War, I reckon, Julia.
Right. I don't want to have a class war. Actually, I do want to have a class war. But that's for another time.
I don't want to have a class war, not really. But it's not about having a class war.
No.
It's not about old people either.
No, it's about young people.
It's about a youth.
Have you heard Corey Feldman's song, What's Up With You?
No, I haven't.
It's amazing. YouTube it.
I'll check that out.
It's brilliant.
All I've been watching on YouTube recently is, have you seen the Shreds videos?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, I'll show you one afterwards. This one of the Beach Boys. And I've been watching that and laughing a lot. And I've not actually listened to any other music in the last week or so.
The Shreds.
Shreds. Yeah, shreds. When we're all done with this, I'll show it to you. But this the
and when we're all done with this, you at home go and watch.
Yes, the Beach Boys the Shreds. It's hilarious.
Sometimes we wish we'd been born poor. Sometimes we wish we'd been born unwell. Sometimes when the guilt of an easy life won't go away, how we wish that we had our own tales to tell. Us, we have to make do with dietary trends, inventing indignations with our like-minded friends. Sometimes when the world outside slowly recedes from view, we believe that we are working class like you. We will never admit we were born at the top of the pile. We will never admit we were born at the top of the pile. We will never admit that we wear the clothes you stitch. Sometimes we gladly change our skin. Sometimes we gladly change our shell. Sometimes when the blandness in our eyes shows an empty page, how we wish that they had names for us as well. Sometimes we have to make do with reclaiming the streets, creating the campaign, defining victory and defeat. Sometimes when in force we make headlines or centre page, we believe that we're the spirit of the age. We will never admit we were born at the top of the pile. We will never admit we were born at the top of the pile. We will never admit that we eat the food you stack. Sometimes we wish we'd been born as daughters or as sons, to those for whom each comfort or reward had been hard won. Sometimes when you see the world in shades of black and red, how you wish that you'd been born a scum instead. Us, we have to make do with selective poverty, where every risk we take is undermined by our safety. Sometimes when the lines of fair trade coke get to work, there's none here who can stop our circle jerk. We will never admit we were born at the top of the pile. We will never admit we were born at the top of the pile. We will never admit that the poor have not noticed. Sometimes we'd love to have to fight for what we get, and sometimes we'd love to look down on us, see a safety net, and sometimes we'd love to have to fight for what we get, and sometimes we'd love to look down on us, see a safety net, and sometimes we'd love to have to fight for what we get, and sometimes we'd love to look down on us, see a safety net, and sometimes we'd love to have to fight for what we get, and sometimes we'd love to look down on us, see a safety net.
I hope
I did the backing vocals all right.
You did them splendidly.
I tried to do it like Wob, because he's got a proper belter of a voice.
He really has. Yeah, he really does thrash it out. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We've got Fair Trade Coke in one of our songs.
You have got Fair Trade Coke in one of your songs.
Did one of us steal it from the other?
No, yours came first. It was actually the same moment.
Like calculus.
Precisely like, yes. No, yours came first, but I didn't hear it until after Writing Class War. So in
like
a way,
calculus.
We both sold it off each other.
Yeah, what I like to see.
Or, you know, everyone was just on loads of Fair Trade Coke.
But Half Man, Half Biscuit also have it. She dreamed that she would go somewhere, but I can't remember, where the Fair Trade is cocaine and frequently displayed alongside the Buena Vista Social Club CD. So I guess they were first.
So we stole it from
them. Yeah. But if you're going to steal from anyone.
I was building this whole up into whereas, you know, like you're Newton and I'm Leibniz, but if they're just Newton and Leibniz.
Yeah, we're just suckling on their dried teat.
Yes. And enjoying it.
I'm loving it. In fact, this afternoon's bad because I've had to draw myself away from the teat.
Yeah.
So I shall suck with increased gusts. It's a bit too desiccated to travel, I'm afraid.
Fair enough. You don't
want to
risk
desiccated teat.
Desiccated.
If people.
How long has it taken us to get to desiccated teat?
Yeah. I can't look again, but I think it's taken us long enough.
Too long.
Mr. Stapleton, if I was on the internet or in the world, and if I was listening to this in Perry County or Stuttgart,
yes,
and I wanted to acquire music by you, what would I do?
Well, you would go to a pogwash dot. No, that's the old one. pogband.co.uk. I think that's the latest one. Bear with me, oh, Judy. Would you mind?
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
a good girl.
it's you, Paul.
You love it when people.
No, I know,
that
I too. Do. I go to people.
You did beam there.
No,
you beamed.
I think Les called me Petal once. I've never had a man bother.
I'll do anything for you, Howard.
I was an academic. Yeah.
So I think it's Pog. What did I just say?
Can you beat up Simon for me?
Pogband.co.uk.
I'm pretty sure that's it. And if you go, or if yeah. you want to buy some of our music as downloads, go to corporaterecords.thing.
Oh, yeah. In fact, most of the artists we've got coming.
Yeah. Download from there.
Bandcamp as well, but I'm not even mentioning that.
I'd rather the commission went to you than Bandcamp.
So would I.
Yes. Quite so.
And so should you, frankly.
Yeah.
So
pogband.co.uk, that's where you can find out about our concerts and so
does
on.
Does that have links to Anal Beer stuff as well?
No, but Anal Beer you can just search and you'll find something.
You'll
find something. I can't promise it's anything with the band.
You can Anal Beard and then the minus sign cunt and then you won't get any anal cunt stuff muddying the water.
Yeah, oh, you don't want that really. Yeah. You don't
well,
want
you
that.
Might,
it's a one-trick pony.
Yes. A one-trick pony performed 52 times. In
Precisely.
per CD. 52 songs on those. Yeah. But also, you make board games.
I've made a board game about Bryson.
Which is a brilliant board game. And the thing
Thank
is,
you.
There's not much to talk about on a podcast because you can't really show it to people.
I did a podcast fairly recently with someone where we played the game and it's just the sounds of silence, the occasional grunting and dice being rolled. It wasn't riveting. They did their best with the material, but it's as subject matter.
Well, give us the 30-second summary of what
okay.
the game is.
Julie, could you count 30 seconds and stop me when I reach 30
yeah.
seconds? Okay.
Go.
Can we start again?
Okay.
I wasn't expecting. Can you start with 1, 2, 3, 4?
1, 2, 3, 4.
Okay, BM1 is a satirical board game about Brighton in which you go around exploring, bumping into various B-list celebrities. I could just read off the back of the box, couldn't I? It's probably much more succinct than I'm being. But there you go. If you, it's not like Monopoly, okay? everyone keeps asking me if it's like Monopoly, and it isn't. All right. So it's not like Monopoly.
It's
so basically, it's like everything else other than Monopoly.
So if
and
you hate Monopoly, get it.
Yeah,
or even
basically.
Or sometimes bored of Monopoly.
Exactly. It makes a great Christmas present, and was that it? I didn't even get to mention the website.
Okay, go on.
Bedsitgames.co.uk. I remember that one.
Games.
Bedsitgames.co.uk.
Okay. And the important thing
I think I sold it pretty well then.
Well, we've got one of your board games, and it is just the most beautiful thing.
Like, well, thank you. They're saying
so,
it's beautiful. They haven't played it
so
yet.
Good.
But aesthetically, I know somebody who says that they haven't been able to stop stroking the box because of the satin finish
it's
on
got
the
a
laminate.
Finish.
It's got a lovely satin finish, isn't it? It's quite tactile.
But it is beautiful, and it's kind of in the same style as comics, which.
Yes, yes. It's like the comics.
Part of the board game is there's cards in it, and the cards have characters on them. And quite a lot of the cards have characters on them. And a lot of those characters, if you live in Brighton or have ever been to Brighton for any extended period of time, you will recognise them.
In one way or another.
Yeah.
If not then somebody who they might remind you of, hopefully.
The bird lady, she's on one of the cards, isn't she?
The birdie whistle man.
No, that's the
yeah,
whistle
he's
man.
In it.
Yeah.
Dancing Hands.
Dancing Hands.
He's in it, of course.
Yeah.
Couldn't miss him out.
Yeah.
Skateboard dog.
Yeah.
Draco, who died.
Yeah.
So that's makes it out of date.
That's the first. Well, we got a first.
You got a first edition. You have hand numbered. That was a pain in the ass. I bet it not was. Doing that again.
Yeah. Signing CDs.
Good. I think it's boring, like, isn't it? 700 CDs in a row. That was.
Oh, was that for the Kickstarter thing?
The
pre-order rather.
That'll do your hand in.
It does really do your hands in.
Okay, so we're sort of trying to wrap up. So,
we just started.
Pogband.co.uk.
That's music, the band, yeah.
Bedsitgames.co.uk,
that's the board game.
And comics.
Pogsquibbles.org, I think.
And they're brilliant comics as well. Really? Thanks. You can buy them in Bright, you can buy them from
you can.
Comics as well, can't you? Probably best to buy them from you.
Yeah, but yeah. Then I break even on them.
Seriously, if you like anything Paul's even briefly said today, they're worth reading. I love everything you do.
Oh, thank you, Simon. So, likewise.
So it's been fabulous to have you on.
Thank you.
I've enjoyed it.
Do we have any delicate things to say?
Well, are we still planning on doing some things?
Well, I've been working hard on these mixes for this new four-track DLC thing that we're doing. Mm-hmm. I think I've got three of them pretty much ready. So one more. So it's going to take a little while, maybe another week or two. But that'll be, we'll have proper things to say about that soon. But I think that's going pretty well. The podcast you're listening to, you know about that. She's doing not as well.
Okay.
The video that we made, the puppet video, that's been all over the internet lately. And to be honest, more people could watch that. So
yeah, I haven't seen that yet.
You haven't seen it.
See, I haven't seen it.
Even puppet Simon even did a little video. Asking people to watch him in his video.
You should do a video to ask people to watch that as well. We'll keep going and going until.
I don't normally watch my video. But
like
my
a sort of video plea maze.
Yeah. It'd be like wardrobe.
What you could do, you could have a myriad of them, and then have like in video links, but ones that sort of take you back to what you've previously seen and stuff. So there's an endless maze you have to navigate to reach the actual video.
Choose your own video begging adventure.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
It could be maddening.
Has anyone done a Choose Your Own Adventure YouTube? I'm sure they must have done.
I know. I mean, I've seen plenty of Choose Your Own Adventure websites, but I mean, you could do it on YouTube, couldn't you? Be a bit like Nightmare or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be really
pick
good.
Which one you go, Simon.
When you've finished Urban X or whatever,
honest,
is that a game?
No, that was it was a script that I was writing, and then someone else made the same idea than the script I was writing.
Oh shit!
It's a terrible shame. No, because it was they made Urban Explorer, which is a German horror movie. But like the Urban X that I was writing was the same basic premise, like horror movie set in the urban exploration community.
Yeah.
But mine was all like Lovecraftian, and theirs was basically a remake of Wolf Creek.
Oh right.
To be honest, and it was like exactly like the same plot points and everything, and it was kind of a shame because I think Wolf Creek is, you know, don't watch it if you've ever been freaked out by anything.
Oh, it's horrible.
It's a good
I managed
example
half of it.
Genre. But it is just such a clear remake of Wolf Creek set in a different environment. Because I thought the urban exploration things, like, because it's all beautiful imagery and stuff, and like would make a fantastic film. They really didn't go that route, which is a shame. But I just threw that script away because there was no point dancing on it.
Almost everything on that.
I was going to say, cross that off.
It's finished.
Oh well, there you are. Then your next task is to make a YouTube Choose Your Own Adventure.
I think that's more a you sort of project.
No, she probably is. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, I'll do it then. I'll put it on my list.
Yeah, we'll put it. Whoever does it first.
Oh, right, yeah, okay. Yeah, cool.
But I think that's probably enough for today, isn't it?
Yeah.
Coming up next,
we have Lily Ray and Keith Top of the Pops.
They're coming in a few days, aren't they?
They are coming in a few days, yeah.
So talk to them about things. We have got Performance Poets coming on at some point, haven't we?
We do, yeah, they are coming.
So we'll ask them why they're shit. We won't do that.
We only have good ones coming.
Good Performance Poets.
Maybe we should only
invite good people onto this podcast. We're not inviting bad people.
What you should do is get every guest to read.
At
some point, you're going to have to sort of start going for the bottom of the barrel. Maybe you should get every guest to read out one of your 14-year-old poems. Especially like the poets.
I've written a poem too, poet.
Yeah, will you read my poem?
Yeah.
We've had you on three times for we should have you one for the music, one for the games, one for the I'm just thinking down the line when we've run out of good people.
We could have done them all over a weekend, couldn't we?
Yeah. Anyway, it is goodbye from Paul.
Thank you for having me.
And it's goodbye from Julia.
Goodbye.
Yeah, and it's goodbye from me. Thanks very much. See you next time.